Got to hit record. You son of a bitch. So we were live streaming that part there. But
we weren't recording it.
But we're not recording the actual audio stream.
Well, thank God for little things. All right, so who are you now?
I'm Andy. Hello. I got audio issues.
Hello and welcome to episode 111 of Crippled System. My name is Nathan.
And I'm Brian. And we have a guest today. Whose name is?
Hello, Alex. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. You'll regret it soon enough.
Assume he already does.
Like all of our guests. We tricked him. He was walking down the street. We grabbed him, threw him in here. No.
That's right.
No joke. I was sitting in the street in my car. Do we have to start over again? What? You guys just keep on going. It'll get fixed in a second.
Okay. No joke, I'm sitting in my car, I'm listening to my new CD that I got when you're down on State Street, whatever, and then some random guy just walks into the house, and I had no idea who he was, and I'm just like, that weird guy just walked into Andy's house. Because he looked way too like clean-cut and respectable to be any of Andy or Jeff's guests.
It looked like a raid, huh?
Yeah. Well, I did just see It Follows, so yeah. I had some ideas.
Nice.
It Follows. But yeah, so... While Andy deals with his technical problems, I will go over announcements, since we can go in topical order. Next weekend, the upcoming Saturday.
It's all fixed. All right. It's all good. Okay. All right. It's all good. We were going echoey again. Oh my sweet Jesus, no.
Yep. All right.
Yeah, so we're all good.
All right. So this coming Saturday in Madison, we are having a 50-point Masters ADR tournament. At Pegasus Games, we have about 28 people signed up. The store can hold 32, so we definitely have room for a couple more. And there's going to be drops because there's always a couple people who last minute cancel because, you know, something happened. So if you're around, and it should be a good amount of prize supports, that's going to default to the, I'm using the new pins that Private Trevest made for first, second, third. I should have, there's gift cards as well. I'm going to have a prize for a raffle for Painted Armies. That's happening this
weekend.
Are
you going to do the Arkmark raffle too?
No? I didn't.
I know that's a Rick thing, but.
That's a Rick thing, and I do try to put it in there, but I didn't put it in the actual thing ahead of time. Usually, if it's in there early enough, I'll do that.
Well, if you do it, then it'll just be everyone marking their arcs for it. Which is good because arc marking is needed.
Yep. And then for those of you, the 25th of the month, if you go to Cedar Rapids, they're having their third of their 4-pack.
Wait, the 25th?
The 23rd, right? 23rd. Whatever the last Saturday of the month is in Cedar Rapids, there's going to be...
Well, the last Saturday would be the 30th.
The one before
Today's the 12th. 31. So is yours on the 17th?
It's the 25th. I'm not wrong. It's a 20... Mine's on the
18th. 18th.
My event's the 18th.
I thought you said 16th, and then my math got confused.
I didn't say 16th.
No one said 16th.
I heard 16th. You said 18th, I heard 16th.
Why do we podcast anymore? So April 18th, this coming
Saturday. The reverse of when someone says 16 and you hear 18.
What's wrong?
Yes. And then in May, the six-pack begins, which we've mentioned multiple times already, but that's May 16th. That's where you got the 16th from.
I'll go with that.
May 16th is the first six-pack. I'm hoping we have 100 people there. Well, not 100.
I can't make it.
Andy will not be there, so that should inspire people to come even more.
Yeah, I'm scheduled to work, but I will juggle.
Oh, you'll be there.
Yeah.
I'll find you. There's a million prizes, so if you come, you can get one of the million prizes.
There's a lot of cool stuff.
I want to keep all the prizes for myself because I got too good of prizes, and I want them. So I should just cancel everything and have an amazing amount of prize support.
Hey, you paid for them. If you just want to cancel the events and keep them, no one's going to argue.
Yeah. It's a field of dream method. I run a big event. I go and I spend $1,000 on the prize support, and then if people come and they fill the normals, like I hope they will, I'll be able to reimburse myself.
I understand that problem. I understand that problem. We get so much prize support for our convention, and it just piles up in the these brand new board games that look so tasty in the back room, and out they go. You know, so it goes.
I got some really nice artwork that I got framed up from. It's hard to get art for Private Press stuff sometimes, and I got some arts directly from some of the artists, so it's just really good stuff that I haven't been able to get my hands on to. It's just sitting on my downstairs, and I just want to keep it all. But I'm giving it all away. I got a bunch of exclusive stuff that you can't normally get unless you do special events. I have all those just saved up for this thing. Not to mention just all sorts of other ridiculous things. So, six-pack in May. Otherwise, those are the announcements I have for upcoming War Machine events. I mean, every month from May to October, there's going to be a six-pack event in Madison. And
I just did the math. That is indeed 6 months.
Yep. I planned that one out. And all right, so that is that. Those are the no announcements, Nathan?
I have no announcements.
Well, you know, technically, in November, you have to go to Game of Con, but we'll talk more about that. That's a little bit far out.
That's right.
You know, but and then I guess we should talk about the spoilers we saw from Privateer Press.
You want to do that first or the board game thing?
Well, all right.
Well, the spoilers happened before the board game thing.
Yes. Going chronological?
Yeah.
That's how we roll. Well.
Yeah. Yeah, like we roll any type of order.
Yes.
So Privateer had a couple of things on their website that they announced. They had in stages.
This went crazy. Like, they hadn't had spoilers for like months.
Yeah.
And then last week, all of a sudden, they're just like every hour on the hour, we're just going to spoil like a half dozen things.
These are my favorite spoilers because while they gave us information, we didn't get details. It was right. The best kind of information. It was like here. It was like just teasers.
Yeah. Here's something that's coming out. Done. Yeah. It was like with a. They had like a 2 weeks of. Haley being released, or is it a week?
It was three days.
Yeah, present and then past and then future. Each was one. Yeah, it was a lead up, and then that third day, then that's the day that they released like 8 spoilers.
Okay, I was gonna say because I thought it was even longer. Maybe it was just anticipation in between each picture.
Yeah.
So yeah, the Haley 3 looks amazing.
Do you play War Machine at all?
I have watched it. I've never played it.
Though. Gotcha.
Yeah. So okay. I'm woefully ignorant. I apologize. That's a real blind spot for me. That 40K are new for me, relatively. So I'm trying to catch up.
We play it, and we still don't know what we're talking about. So don't worry about it.
Yeah. No. I'm an RPG guy, a board game guy, and to some extent a card guy. So. Yeah.
Speaking of RPG, I ordered all the Hordes Unleashed stuff. So.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if you did too, but on the most recent, I ordered all of it.
Well, I ordered it. The cool thing was, if you ordered it through a game store, the book, you got a free digital copy of the book.
Oh.
Which I thought was pretty nice to get both versions of it, so that's how I ordered it through Pegasus.
Cool.
But just because, I mean, I didn't have as many press ganger points and things like that. But yeah, I definitely got it through the store. But it's cool.
I used up all my press ganger points. I ordered everything I need. I ordered a second TEP, and I ordered all the Hordes Unleashed stuff, and then I just ordered as many razor boards as I could. I just said, send me as many razor boards as possible to use up all my points. Because I made a list that uses 26 of them.
Do you have Bart hats for all your razor boards?
That is a phenomenal idea. I'm going to order 26 Bart hats.
I just assumed that was part of that, so I didn't even say anything.
Well, I might have to order like 30 more razor boards because I can run that many with Midas, and I'm just going to spray paint them all gold, so it'll be thematic.
I can get some more of my Scorn little my minis.
Oh, the Scarabs?
Not the Scarabs, my Reptile Hounds. We can have Reptile Hound versus a Bat.
There you go. Just nothing but light lessers.
Yeah.
Well, the worst thing ever.
Yes. So, Haley.
Haley 3.
Had people going crazy because took 3 days to spoil what that was.
Yep.
Menoth.
A unit. She's a unit, is crazy.
Yeah. Which is ridiculous. People are freaking out about that. It's hilarious. Killing Haley 3 times in a game is going to be the greatest feeling in the world.
Well, it's going to be so weird because all the other Warcaster units, there's a Warcaster and then there's two schmucks. This one, all 3 members of the unit thematically should be full-fledged Warcasters with their own focus ability and their
it's
own...
It's probably going to be like the Witch Coven.
Yeah.
It'll probably work like something like that where they kind of share maybe the same focus.
I think they're going to be basically your full-fledged Haley 3 who's full-powered. Mm-hmm. The future and the past are going to be Echoes, so they're going to have one or two spells, almost like I think they'd be like Journeyman. I think they're each going to have their own focus, but they'll only be like 4 or 5. I mean, I'm just making it up. I mean, it could be like the Coven where they share stuff, but I think it's going to be individual spell lists, individual focus.
And how they put jacks on them, too?
They'll each get a squire. It'll just be like the... I just threw up in my mind.
Hopefully the Echoes count as companions so they can't attach a squire to it.
That'd be great.
That would be really good. Please. Thank God. You don't need the squire in every single list ever made.
There'll be a unit so Rupert can give him Pathfinder.
Yes. No.
See if there's any other unit things.
Yeah, but not like Haley's going to be charging you. I mean, that's...
You don't know.
You don't know.
She'd probably be movement 8. And then other stats will be 8 as well, so it'll be like 88 miles an hour. So.
Focus will have to be at least 30 because why would we have her be fair?
Exactly. So we should talk about other things that were released too. So besides the releases for Reckoning, which was the new Protectorate caster.
Mm-hmm. Who looks phenomenal, by the way.
Yeah, he's a Paladin caster.
His name's Fred Durst.
Was it like John Durst? It was something Durst. It's because everybody said it's Fred Durst's brother.
Yeah.
And they even call him like the Rock of Menoth, so he can keep rolling. Like, that's an unfortunate or hilariously intentional thing that they just did.
Hey, they're fans of, they're fans of him, so they...
Yeah, Limp Bizkit. Yes.
Sometimes a model comes out for a faction that you don't play. Like, man, that model's so cool, I want to spend all the money to play it. And then you're like, damn it, I just spent too much money buying all these models up to play that.
Yeah.
That's how much games get you.
That's what happened with Bradagus. Everyone saw Bradagus. They're like, he looks freaking awesome. And then, oh, his theme's out. Oh, I'll just get his theme. Oh, my God, his theme is amazing.
Oh, my God, I'm winning all my events.
Yeah.
That explains why I have a complete set of Star Wars X-Wing, and I've never even played it.
Because it does.
Yeah. What? You know, have you seen Armada yet?
I haven't, unfortunately. when I do, I'm sure I'll have to.
Let me Google some pictures and break your bank account.
Yeah, nice. I'm so happy one of my friends bought that. It's one of the few games I'd have to buy for myself.
Yeah.
I've made a lifestyle out of having Brian buy games that I want to play. So it's good that you got to do it to somebody else.
I need a fourth bookshelf.
Meanwhile, I have fewer and fewer games on my bookshelf. I'm paring it down and just playing with your money.
Yes. Everyone else's, too. I bought the Cthulhu Wars game last week.
Oh, yeah, Sandra Peterson's game. That's a really good game.
Yeah, I'm going to get that out soon. I bought it, and I didn't. I was so clueless. Somehow that game got off my radar. Well, I mean, there's a million games. So you can't keep everything on your radar. I was having kind of a rough week at work, so I was basically spending money to make myself just feel better. So I just like that box of cues. This is Cthulhu. I googled it real quick to make sure the reviews were positive. They were. So I just bought it. I didn't even realize the gimmick of where the miniatures were like monstrously huge and amazing. So then it was like a special prize when I opened it. I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah.
It's like a three, you know.
I remember those prototypes came out and thought, wow, that's pretty cool. When you get a board game and you get big pieces of plastic minis like that, that's pretty fly.
And it's very similar to Chaos in the Old World, which is an amazing game, so it's another win-win.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to play that. I also got Dead of Winters, too. But
that was going to be part of the next topic. That's the only reason I didn't mention it when he was talking about getting cool games as prize support. Because,
oh, sorry.
Yeah, we're always this is the podcast of tangents as well. So we try to steer back on. Sometimes we just go on that tangent forever. But to finish off the privateer stuff, so they released pictures of the Ferret Scout.
Yep, who is huge.
Yeah, it's a really
that model
big,
was big model. And such a sexy looking model.
It is. It is very cool looking. Then there was the Kroken, the Kroke Hunters. Are they?
The soul is a Kroke Hunter, Kroke Raiders, or Kroke something.
The unit of
frogs.
Yep, unit of frog guys.
Who are really interesting from the description of their ability, because it talks about how they have a dual stage weapon.
Yeah,
I don't know if like you read. Yeah, I mean, like one guy puts oil on him, and then the second guy lights him on fire. So I don't know if they're going to have like a two weapon choice, but that seems clunky. So a lot of people are thinking it might just be like a CRA effect or something.
Mm.
Yeah. If two combine, then that would be a very streamlined way to do it.
Yeah, because having one weapon that all it does is like mark them, but nothing happens unless they're then hit with the other weapon, just seems really clunky.
It's another token you have to put out to the field to mark somebody. Yep.
It's not like the Devil Dogs where they have two weapons, but one of them flat out knocks you down, and so it is what it is.
Yeah.
Either way, a ranged unit for Gators is a welcome addition.
And single wound infantry that is really nice. That's something that Gators could potentially really use advantage of.
Hey, you had Bog Trogs.
Bog
Trogs and the
we'll
Champers.
Yeah, we'll see what the costs are.
Just admiring Exelon Thexus torturing somebody.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
Very adorable.
I didn't see that when I came.
You know the fluff about why they had to change that picture, Brian?
Yeah. So this guy is, you know, obviously taking control of that guy.
Uh-huh.
The original artwork was a model that was immune to magic, so they had to like edit the picture because it looks really cool, but the model that was here was immune to the spell he was casting, so the whole art was technically not.
When I looked at it, it looked like a robotic Elithid. It sort of popped into my brain.
Yeah, it's a big mechanical spider with a dude hanging from it.
Nice. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, they're not nice.
No, they're not. It's a very cool model.
He is cool. He looked really good painted. where were we? Kroke Raiders, yes. And then the Gremlins, who are really creepy looking, but I think that's just because they're flesh tone colored. If you paint them any other color, they're less creepy looking.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the Gremlins yet, but it's like a Gremlin Swarm is what they call them.
People are all going to mod them and look like Gremlins from Gremlins.
Look like Gremlins, except that they're flesh tone.
Well, that's what I mean. People are going to paint them, I guess. Yeah. You'll still put stripe in there.
Mohawk. Put some glasses on one of them.
Yeah.
Make one of them out of vegetables.
Yeah.
Just have like a giant popcorn container and all the other things. Yes. Good. Or you can make it so they're make it so it's a terrain place or a terrain piece and just have them in a fountain.
Well, they'll be like if you put them in shallow water, you get a free unit.
Oh my
just
god!
Run them into a water terrain. Oh my god! Pop out a bunch more.
Oh, that would be amazing.
It would never come up, but you know.
All right.
Yeah.
So,
next topic. We're going through topics like crazy today. We're fishing.
Well, because we all feel awkward because Alex is our guest of honor and he doesn't care about that entire topic.
Oh, that's not true. It's interesting.
He cares. No, this will be interesting. I'll say this. I'll tangent off Gremlins because I thought this was interesting, and I'm sure I've already said this, but oh well, because you probably haven't heard it, which is that I found out recently that in the original draft of the first Gremlins movie, Stripe wasn't a character.
I did not know that.
It literally was just that Gizmo turned evil. And then Gizmo, the cute, fluffy one, was gone. He turned into a gremlin and then was just the bad guy and was in charge of a gremlin army, and then the kid had to kill Gizmo.
Hmm. That makes sense why they made that switch.
Yeah, they're like, that's really depressing. Also, we need a cute toy to sell, so keep the Gizmo.
Yeah. Huh. That's good. That's good gremlin trivia right there. Yeah, Top notch.
Impress the ladies.
Yeah, they love that.
Do you want useless information? You go to Nathan.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, he is a complete resource of useless information.
I'm just saying, you go to a bar and say, hey, did you know in the original version of Gremlins there was no Stripe? You probably won't get laid.
Probably true.
You could also go and just tell her story, too, of what happened at Christmas, and you probably won't get laid either.
Just talk about your dad coming down the chimney.
Yeah.
That'll work.
Oh, it's a horrible, horrible topic.
I love that they just duplicated it in the sequel and just changed it to President's Day. It's one of the best sequels ever because it's so meta. It knows it's a sequel and it makes fun of its own franchise.
Yep. I love the symbol for the clamp. The company, the clamp, it's got just the world outside. It's got the world inside the sea. Yep, that's the best.
I love the whole scene where they're all arguing over about the rules for Gremlins, because since the first movie came out, all of us had those exact same arguments. So it was nice having characters on the screen, you know, just saying like, hey, what if they cross a time zone? What if they have food stuck in their teeth? How long after midnight do they have to wait? No answers. But at least the movie admitted those are questions.
That's a movie that when it came out, people didn't like. But over time made people appreciate that particular movie. Because I remember when it came out, nobody said they liked it. Like, if you said you like Gremlins 2, someone punched you. And there wasn't the internet to have those counterpoints. But now you're like, Gremlins 2 is pretty good. Gremlins 2. So it's one of the interesting things.
Yeah. So I'm just saying that the people are going to mod up the Efrid Scout to look like Sand Raiders.
Oh.
You have to do the Bantha. But that you could do. I always thought it looked like Necron 99 from Wizards. And I thought that was the most obscure thing to say, except then other people on the forums were also saying it looked like Necron 99.
You look at the artwork for that. Yeah. It looks almost exactly.
Yeah, I saw the artwork. Like before the model, I saw the artwork. I'm like, well, that's the cover art from Wizards right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen that picture before.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah, you know, mid-1970s Ralph Bakshi animated fantasy movies aren't mainstream.
Well, you know, sometimes.
Ugh. Fine, game hole con.
Fine,
give Alex the chair.
You certainly don't need to do that. This is this is very interesting, guys.
Yeah. Well, before we get in,
the board game thing.
And this is something we all play board games. So yesterday, I don't know. I saw a lot of pictures on Facebook from a lot of people, but yesterday was like official. I think it's tabletop day.
International tabletop day. Yep.
And for some reason, I didn't get the day off work for this. I'm a little pissed. First of all, that I didn't get an extra day of work off to play board games because
wasn't it on a Saturday?
Hey, they should have given us that Friday off to have prepare to weed into it. To prepare for the board games because Pegasus Games had Andy did demos of two different games. I ran Shadows of Brimstone all day, and people were doing Armada. There was like eight other games being run there. It was kind of a little bit of Zombicide. Arcadia was being run there.
Yep.
Did you guys get any of the free stuff? You know, the free giveaway stuff? That's pretty sweet. I mean, a lot of the publishers give good stuff. I didn't make it. I was busy yesterday.
I got a promo card for Five Tribes.
Okay.
I got a promo card for some kind of Mafia-style game. I cannot think of it.
Family Business?
I think that's it.
I don't know. That's the only Mafia card game I know.
Yeah, it's like some. I know. Yeah, I got a card for that. But I also got Dead of Winter then too. Yeah.
How did you just get Dead of Winter? How did that happen?
There was a silent auction. Dead of Winter. There was like Evolution and some other games that were being auctioned for. And he kept yelling because he put his price down. I always wanted to raise him by a dollar. I wanted the whole season to be Andy and me going back and forth, making them.
Doesn't make sense. You don't do that.
It was always the especially style of silent Andy. Auction where you publicly just write it down then.
Yeah.
Okay. It was a silent auction where everything was public and not silent.
Right, because that's just an auction?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, James set it up, and as we all know, James is not always confident.
It was a little odd, because you could just walk up and like... And then he took like... So everyone's been signed up until 5 o'clock is when the time was cut off. And then James comes up and says, anybody who wants to come up, they could just sign up one last time and then give me the sheet.
It's like, you sons of bitches.
You just gave everybody the right to snipe.
Yeah, I was standing there like, I could have sniped Andy. I'm like, but I didn't because...
I was going to stab somebody.
Well, that's true. I mean, that was true. The other thing I was going to get John had signed up for, like, the people that I was hanging out with all day were the ones who had their names down.
And you don't want to compete with them. Yeah, Dead of Winter. I'm just glad Dead of Winter is at our group because I really enjoyed that game. I played it a couple more times now with another friend.
You played a game without me, you son of a bitch.
I was in a different state.
How dare you leave the state?
After Adepticon, if you hadn't left Adepticon early, you could have played it with me because I detoured to a buddy's place outside Chicago on the way home and played Dead of Winter.
Have you played Dead of Winter?
I haven't.
It's a hard game to get, so if you missed its first printing, it's just super
what
hard.
Style? What kind of
game? It's co-op with Hidden Traitor, so like a Battlestar Galactica style thing.
Okay.
But there isn't necessarily a traitor, so you might all be a team. But there's a lot of cool mechanics. My favorite mechanic that it has is that even all the people. Have you played Battlestar Galactica?
Yes, but it's been a long time.
Okay, because the Cylon leaders is the best way to summarize it. But instead of summarizing that, I'll just say it. Even the people who are on the same team have independent goals, and to win, the team needs to win, and you need to get your independent goal, which means sometimes you're playing suboptimally / not doing what the team wants you to do, you know, like because you have your own thing you have to take care of, which is really nice because that means that there isn't just this is the optimal play for the team because you're like, that's great, guys. I really need to be over here taking care of some shit.
And it's kind of like survive. It's zombie-esque, but you're basically trying to survive. So you're sending people out, you know, the streets to gather food. Someone's giving you're gathering resources to build things up. I like it, but I really think the traitor mechanic's awkward in it. Like I love the traitor mechanic in Battlestar. It makes sense. The Cylons have to get to you, but I don't always see why when you're playing Dead and Winter, where someone just wants everyone to die. It just doesn't always fit.
Just from a draw of a card or something, right?
You set the game off. You find out you're the you flip your card over. You look like, my hidden goal is I need to like I personally need to get a bunch of lumber for whatever reason. And then someone's like, everyone must die. I'm like, well,
the one that we harsh. Just played, I was happy. The one I played. I don't know how many times you've gotten to play it now, but the first time we played it, it was kind of just like I want everybody to die. The one I played with my friend down in Chicago, the traitor, his mechanic was he needed morale to reach zero. And he needed one of the external locations to have full barricades. Just every single space have a barricade. Because the fluff explanation was that he wanted to usurp leadership and have a stronghold to rule from.
Okay.
Which was nice that it had a fluff justification for his thing and it wasn't just, let's kill everybody.
Gotcha.
So that was kind of neat.
Yeah, I saw I paged through the rule book. I saw that there's like a ton of like little missions in it for a storyline base. It's really a more of a storyline based
huge story game. Because it's a Crossroads game, which they're gonna hopefully have a whole series of them is the intention. And the mechanic they'll all have is that Crossroads deck, which is a random event deck that instead of just drawing a card and it happens. It's during each player's turn, somebody else draws a card, and if something happens during that turn, it triggers a random event.
Oh.
And they're very fluffy. And there's usually, instead of just the event happens, it'll usually be like a choice. You know, like you find a fuel tanker out there, and you can drive it back to the stronghold, but the noise will attract zombies, but you'll get fuel, so you have to decide whether it's worth the risk. Or it might be moral choices, like you can kill a character to gain weapons and whatnot. So it's kind of neat.
Well, there's a Mall Santa that you can kill to improve morale.
There is a Mall Santa whose special ability is that you can kill him to cheer everybody up.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, but it was just fun to have tabletop. It's always good to see, you know, the store was from 10 to 8, the store was packed. People coming to play new board games. I know for Brimstone, I guess I showed 23 people how to play Brimstone. It was pretty crazy.
The store sold out of Brimstone,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, all the chaos. So I guess my job was complete. I ran demos and they sold everything of the games. I was going to stop like at 6, and these people came up to me, and they're like, please demo the game for us. And I'm like, I want to go home, like, please. I'm like, oh, fine, I'll stay. And then we had a fun, we ended up having another 6-player group and just played. Like,
oh, darn, you had to play Shadows
of
Brimstone.
I had to play more
again.
Brimstone, like my favorite game. So, you know, but it was like, come home after 10 hours board gaming. It was a good day. It's a good Saturday.
Yeah. The whole time you were doing that, I was playing Darkest Dungeon, and that's basically Brimstone. So we were kind of playing the same thing.
Yeah, I basically started the day off. I demoed a bunch of Zombies Keep Out, and then I switched over to doing a lot of Sentinels of the Multiverse, and then did some more Zombies Keep Out, and then more Sentinels.
You don't have the Noxious Dead expansion for Zombies, do you?
I do.
Oh, you do? In your picture, I didn't see any of the Noxious ones.
Generally, for starting off the game, I don't play it.
That's good. Because it was demos.
They added a whole different element to the game that's maybe a little bit more confusing. I don't think it's really confusing. It just changes
chaotic.
The game.
More chaotic. Yeah. So I can see as a demo, you wouldn't put them in there.
You played any board games yesterday, Alex?
Well, I did pop over to OddCon. It's a small con here in Madison, and I had my two kids. And so my kids are 3 and 7, so I'm limited a little bit that way. So they did have a paint and take there, which was cool. So my little ones got to sit down and get some instruction. They're growing up nerds just like their dad, so they already have done quite a bit of painting. So they splashed around a little bit. And then I had a friend there who was actually getting ready to kickstart a kid's game, and it's basically a memory game. And instead of, you know, like balls and sticks and stuff like that, the traditional memory has, it has fantasy images like, you know, magic potions and things like that. So you have to do that. And the mechanic is that there's one dragon card. And so when that dragon card flips up, everything gets mixed up. So it screws up where your memory.
Oh, so it reshuffles it occasionally.
So my two kids had a blast doing that. So that was fun. So that was my games day.
Well, it's a good sign if it's four kids and your kids liked it.
They loved it. Yeah, they loved it. And I think they're going to get credits as play testers now, which is pretty awesome. And it was fun. I was going to hop into a 5e game, some D&D yesterday. But again, you know, I just had my guys, so I couldn't do that.
Gotcha. Cool.
Yeah.
What's Arcadia Quest?
Arcadia Quest is a pretty cool board game that they played yesterday. I can't even... It seems to be more of a...
It's like a Super Dungeon Explorer. I think it's the one that has like Thieves Guilds, and you're all trying to gather treasure out of the thing, and you're trying to fight other people.
The minis for it are really slick, if I'm remembering where they... There were so many... It was like... Because there was Super Dungeon Explorer there as well, and then there was Arcadia, and Arcadia... I know it looks really cool because I've seen it out before, and it looked slick yesterday. But all the games near each other kind of blended together for a little bit. But Arcadia is it's one of the games where I almost bought, but I do buy like 90% of the games I see. But 10% of the time, I'm like, I come to my senses. I'm like, okay, I just bought, you know, Cthulhu Wars. I should at least wait 2 days before I buy the next game.
And you guys have seen my collection, so you understand. I understand the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I pared down my collection recently. I used to have a wall of board games, and then finally I just took anything that had dust on it. I eBayed like 60 board games and just got rid of all of them.
That's a good idea.
I've been debating getting rid of some of my zombie side because I play it the least, and it has some of the most just number value to it. But I'm pretty good about getting most of the games played. But, I mean, I do kind of – I have a weekly Monday group. I play every week some other games, so I'm pretty lucky to get them off. But if I would ever – get in a lull, I probably could get rid of a shuffle of games, but right now I'm in the board game golden age of board gaming, at least for my group right now. So it's,
you don't do anything on Sundays consistently, do you?
No, but I wouldn't mind doing.
I think I'm gonna go forward with my alternate Sundays big games day. It'll be like the anti-Andy thing, unfortunately.
Why?
I don't know. Well, no, because you don't mind things like Greyhawk Wars and stuff like that. Because I have alternate weekends off, I'm going to start having alternate
like
Sundays.
Twilight Imperium?
Yes, yes. Like Twilight Imperium or Dune or, you know, games. Diplomacy.
I have that Norrath game. It's like the Insult of Norrath or whatever it is. Or Rune Wars. Like those games would fit on a Sunday.
Yeah, like if it takes less than 4 hours, it's not allowed to be played. Like this is like we will play a game all day. Yeah.
There's no more anti-Andy games.
Yeah?
I've made that decision that I was opened up to certain games.
Yeah.
You know what would have changed your mind last week? If you were part of our Dominant Species last week, you would have changed your mind on that one.
That was 2 hours longer than it should have been. And when competitive games turn into co-op games because you're all min-maxing each other's turns, it is a disaster.
It just got weird. Have you ever played Dominant Species?
No.
Well, imagine a game that's really long and make it last longer and then just...
Any worker placement game. Yeah. Like, it's a two-hour worker placement game, so it's already...
Slash area control,
Slash area control, whatever. Yeah. But we just got to the point where every time somebody would go to place a worker, the other three people would start debating, and not like... not like, oh, that's going to screw me or that's going to screw him and start debating to try to save yourself, but literally like number crunching, analysis paralysis as a team to figure out what they should do. And that was happening for every worker, for every person, and it was disastrous.
Yeah, it was just, and we play a lot of
that doesn't usually happen.
It's just weird. I blame John and all that.
I bring
him
knife.
He's not here to defend himself.
There will be a stabbing then.
Yeah.
Just place your workers now.
Yeah.
Go.
And we were so happy. You're like, oh, thank God somebody wanted me to move on.
No, but I have been labeled in the sense where I don't like certain games, and I've been trying to, because then I feel excluded from game nights. So I'm open up for other games.
But that, you know, and that doesn't mean you have to force yourself to do things you don't, you know, enjoy. It's kind of like, I'm not a huge horror movie person.
Yeah.
So if there was, if everybody every Friday went and watched a horror movie, I'd be cool with being excluded because it's just not my bag.
I'd be willing to, you know, at least try it out.
You prefer lighter, fluffier games.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing. That's just your mindset. You like the quicker card games. You like the Battle Wizards of Monkey Mountain, Death Face, Pooflingy, whatever games. If you shuffled three of your games together, because you had the Monkey Wars and the Battle of Wizard.
Will this have any play? Viticulture, followed by Caverna, followed by...
Well, you don't have to kill me.
Well, no.
I mean, or cause me to kill myself.
You'd find one of those game styles more enjoyable, then we can kind of customize some things towards you, too. Because, I mean, Caverna and Viticulture are pretty different. I love both those games a lot, but they're intense and different for different reasons.
I think I would probably like Caverna. I've heard a lot of good things about it, and that may be something I would probably
like. We could play Agricola, which...
No, I've already played that.
You played Agricola?
I think I have.
I don't know if you have.
I don't think you played Agricola.
I think I have.
Did you, like, breed cows and then put out fields and fences and stuff?
Nope, but I did something similar to that and did a different game.
All right.
Okay.
Have you played Agricola, Caverna? We always have this.
Yeah, I haven't. I've actually never heard it pronounced that way. But, yes, I haven't played it, though. I haven't.
Which you one, never should.
Agricola. Yeah.
Agricola is, in my mind...
Agricola, yeah.
Whichever. In my mind, it's an amazing game. Yeah. It's like an A-quality game that no one on this planet should ever play again.
Because Caverna exists.
Caverna is an A-plus game that has supplanted it entirely.
Oh,
it's just... They tweaked it, made it strictly superior, and it's it was nice knowing you.
I'm 95% sure I own it, but I don't think I've ever played it.
It's a good game. I mean, I guess that would be the one reason to play it is if you already own it and don't own Caverna.
Yeah, I know I don't have Caverna.
It's the same thing with like Warhammer Quest and Shadows of Brimstone now.
Probably, yeah.
It's exactly that, yeah.
But I mean, at least Warhammer Quest is like... If you're like gung ho about that theme, like that fantasy and the Warhammer Chaos Warriors and everything over the, if Warhammer Quest had already been the Old West and then Brimstone, like it's that much. Like Caverna's, I guess the only difference with Caverna is that you're dwarves.
Well, but Agricola, it's still you draft cards in Agricola, which my friend Tim, that's his favorite thing about the game. In Caverna...
In the base game, you don't.
True, but no one plays a base game.
That's true.
So in Agricola, you draft cards, but Caverna, you have like 800 buildings you can buy. So they just give you sheer... There's just a different quantity of insanity, just in a different type of way. Instead of, you know, cards, you have buildings.
I guess so. But I don't know anybody who would play Agricola over Caverna anymore.
Tim, because he
can't
lose
it. I was going to say Tim, but that's only because he has mastered... Agricola.
Yeah. Everyone has like the one game that's their realm, and our one friend Tim Agricola. You don't play against him in Agricola.
No, I like that. Lords of Waterdeep is mine that way. I love that game. Yeah.
One of the guys that demoed one of the Sentinels of the Multiverse with us was just talking about like how he just got full into what's a card draft system game.
Dominion, sure.
Yes, he got that and got all the expansions of Dominion, and him and his play group used to play all the time until he started playing online, and then really started playing with himself.
Hello,
with the game.
Oh,
yeah, with the game though. But I mean, he started just really knuckling down with that game and just beat his all of his friends out of it.
It's partially why I don't play Terra Mystica online. Terra Mystica has a really great web app for it. And I've been really tempted to play it, but you can't even go to the Board Game Geeks forum about Terra Mystica anymore because everyone who goes to that forum plays the online game and they only talk in shorthand for the online app. So as someone who just plays the board game a lot and loves it, can't read the forms because I can't translate the all the
you can't translate the elite speak.
It's all abbreviations, everything about it. And you know, I spent some time cracking the code. I thought it was like a big code breaker, but making some stuff sense out. I could like figure out some sentences and then I could work my way through it. But man, and I feel like if I would jump onto that the webpage app, I'd just play it 500 times and then I would sit down against someone else and be like, boom.
Yeah, and the stuff these people, they take it to another level because, you know, they're just stuff like, well, you know, if you follow Cronenberg's third thesis opening act for the Darklings, you get a 1.87 VP return per gold. And it's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Can't I just play Terra Mystica? Like, you're taking it way above anything.
That is my exact argument about Sentinels. Is there's a lot of folks out there who you're like, oh, we're taking on that villain? Okay, well, we need this, this, and this, and this, and this. And like, no, we just... let's just play. I don't care if this guy has a disadvantage versus that villain. Let's just play.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I agree.
Yep. And we're to that now.
I can disagree. I hate Dominion.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, that's another debate. I don't hate it, but
I don't hate it. It's just one of the worst deck building games. Thank you, Dominion, for helping to popularize deck building games. They are all better than you. You can go away now. That's my stance with Dominion.
It's hilarious to see that. I've read interviews of the guy who made Dominion talking about other deck building games. You could say he's bitter that other deck building games exist and they're popular. He's like, well, really, it's all because of me. It's basically how his interviews boil down to. He's not necessarily wrong either, but it's just funny to listen to him talk because he's so bitter.
Yeah, well, and cinema now is because of whoever did Train Going Into Tunnel, but that doesn't mean that that's the best movie ever made. It's like, thank you for starting it.
Yeah.
Dominion is still really popular. Yeah, a lot of people play it. I'm amazed. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I can't take issue. But it's true. People play the hell out of that game.
I mean, when it comes down to it, there are, as much as I board game, as much as Nathan board games, I can go online and I talk to my friend Keith Hooks from wherever he's from, I forget, Columbus, Ohio. And he can say, hey, have you played one of these five games? He'll mention five games I've never heard of. And I'm like, I can't stop buying games and playing games. And yet he's still like, trumps me on names of board games. So, end of the day, if you have a board game group who loves Dominion, you guys play it, you know, be happy. I mean, it's all about...
No.
Me,
you know. No.
Hey,
acknowledge your misery.
I would not say the same thing about Munchkin, because fuck those people, but as far as... they can have Dominion. Give them Dominion.
They can have Dominion. They really should be playing, like, Thunderstorm or Puzzle Strike, but fine.
Well, what about Star Realms?
Star Realms, yeah. I mean, Star Realms, you can get it for, like, $2 on your phone or Kindle or iPad or computer.
Yeah.
In fact, you get it on all of those. It unlocks to infinite devices when you buy it.
Or Boss Monster. But that's a deck building game.
StarCraft. That's a great deck building game.
Yeah. Oh, StarCraft. I haven't played that in a while. Some Sundays.
I've played that.
That would be a Sunday game.
Yeah.
Some Twilight Imperium.
I am not one of the people who hates TI3. Brian and I have talked about this. Like, Keith, every time he's on the podcast, just foams at the mouth over his hatred for TI3. I enjoy TI3.
I think it's cool.
All you have to do is make sure that everybody at the table is aware of the fact that they cannot think for more than 30 seconds ever. Because you're like, well, there's going to be X turns, and each turn has X phases, and each of us is going to do X actions per phase. So if we take a minute per action, the game takes 15 hours. So we have to take 30 seconds per action, and then it's a tolerable 8 hours.
You know what? That's a universal rule that can be applied to just about any game.
Yeah.
You know, whatever that unit of time has to be to make it make sense. I'm a big RPG guy, and I run a lot of games, and you know, it's always one or two guy who sits there and grinds over a very simple decision, and it just kills the game.
Yes.
You know? And so the hourglass method or whatever you have to do to keep it going is that's me. So I agree totally with Twilight.
Well, tasers are pretty popular to get nowadays. After 30 seconds, you just tase the person.
Yes. Just light them up, huh?
Yeah. Wow. I like that. I'm going to go with that. I'm
like in Ghostbusters?
I'm buying a... No. Well, that's too... That was just a zap. I want a full-on taser.
Oh, okay.
But...
make sure we live stream that.
Everyone's just throwing out answers constantly. They're afraid to wait.
Our ratings would go up.
It would be.
If we started tasing each other during board games.
Or just in general. Just everyone. As soon as the recording goes live, we all know it's taser time.
Johnny Knoxville built a career out of it. So.
Yeah, that's true.
How much money has he made off of the TV show and films? And it's all just because I don't mind being tased or punched in the genitals.
Right.
Fair enough. Chat's hidden. Oh my god.
So. Yeah, but you can see it over there.
I know.
Yeah, because just...
But when I post it says I'm Major Tusk, I feel like an imposter.
Yeah, that's fine. Just don't say anything discriminating. Oh, you already have.
You would never do that.
Never.
Never.
All I said was fuck Thunderstorm. No, I said fuck Dominion. That's not discriminating.
It's not very bold
it's
either.
Discriminating against people with bad taste in games.
The funny thing is Tim likes Dominion too.
Which is fine. Because just like Agricola, it's the older game that he got really good at, and he's not brave enough to move on to better ones.
It's true.
So we should probably move on.
Yeah, we actually
haven't talked about GameholeCon.
I know that's a topic now. We have Alex here, and he runs GameholeCon, the greatest convention known to man.
Wow, that is a tagline I'm gonna lift for sure. That's awesome. Thank you for that. Yeah,
Crippled System.
Yeah, brought to you by Crippled System. I'm the director of GameholeCon, an annual tabletop gaming convention that we hold in Madison every fall, and really excited because we're coming up onto our third year. Here and first 2 years have been great, really outstanding, beyond our expectations, and we're excited this year because we're moving to a real big, you know, honest to God convention facility. We'll be at the Alliant Energy Center because we outgrew our space in 2 years. So so it's cool.
Yeah, it's amazing that you've been able to get to the convention center on year three. I mean, that's pretty ridiculous.
It wasn't the plan. I mean, we thought even aggressively, ambitiously. After 3 years, we could look at either, you know, there are two in town, two of the big ones, and it just became apparent that we were beyond capacity. Well, as after year two, we're the largest tabletop gaming convention in the Upper Midwest, you know, in 2 years, bam. I mean, it's wild. So we just had to do it, and, you know, fortunately we have the organizational structure to do it, and it's going really well.
The one cool thing that we noticed, unfortunately, since we're in War Machine, overlapped with one of the bigger War Machine events too. Just seeing the production quality of your guys' work, of your advertising and everything going into it, we could see that it was actually something that was going to be big. I mean, especially the first year, like all the graphics and such, and your website, it was actually nice and clean. You could actually find events on there, unlike some other events been in the Madison area.
This was born from frustration from our game group. Our game group was the Game Hole, and that's because it was in my basement for years, you know, and that's where we gamed forever. And it's recently moved to an upstairs realm instead of subterranean. But we love convention gaming. And we go to conventions all over the place, and just the frustration of poor experiences, quite frankly. So what we did simply is try to put together a convention that we wanted to go to, you know, from the experience, from registration being easy, a site that worked, that's first of all good value, lots of fun, high energy. And cool, you know, and a variety of games. And so when you show up, you actually get your packet, you get a schedule, you get your game tickets. They go off when they're scheduled, stuff like that. You think that would be every convention, but as you guys, I'm sure, know, that's not often how it works. No. It's frustrating. And,
it's the ones that we see are like the bigger successful ones, like Gen Con or you know, like Origins or something like that is where we would actually see a nice, good schedule behind it. I've been to so many in the local area here that just kind of...
Well, even not in the local area, we'll go up to even as far as Oshkosh. Like, a lot of times there's War Machine tournaments at these cons. Like, there's always a con going on to something. They call it a con, and there's, you know, all sorts of War Machine. So we go to all these cons and all over the state, and you get there, and it's really a hallway of a couple... Maybe a hallway with, like, three vendors, which are really just the local stores. The local guest happens to be the guy who... He lives in the same city who did one thing once that one day. And then that's really there is. And there's one role-playing group in the corner, and then that's it. So even when we first walked into the, like last year when we went there for GameboCon, we were there like 5 minutes, we realized, well, this is actually like a real thing. It's not, you know, you can tell immediately that the level that you put into it is completely upscale versus, you know, all these places that say they're con.
Yeah, it's just 20 people rent out a VFW hall and put the word con at the end of something, and they, you know, as opposed to this is an actual convention.
Yeah.
You know, there's a big difference between those two.
I appreciate that. Yeah, that's, we're trying to skip the small con phase. Yeah. We went right to the, so we went out and got A-list people, As far as special guests,
like us,
exactly, like us. Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Oh, real, real talent, real talent.
You said A-list, right?
We're A-holes.
A-holes.
Yeah. You know, and
your guest policy is also a great, because you've mentioned this before. When you have a guest show up, it's not just a guest who's there and just waves at people from a distance. Your guests are very encouraged to be interactive. Like you have Ed Greenwood running the Forgotten Realms campaign.
Yeah, it's a requirement.
Requirement exactly of all these guests from all they're involved with the gaming.
Yeah, the rules are pretty simple. If you want to be a guest at our con, we'll treat you well, and that's first of all why they all want to come and then come back. But that you have to run games for our attendees. You have to make yourself available during the con hours, just hanging out. So if people want to talk to you, it's not a fan con like Comic Con where you have to wait in line to meet someone. That's bullshit. I hate that. So that's not the way it's going to be.
Wait in line, give the person like $10. They'll give you 30 seconds of your attention.
Yeah. So, for example, if you come to our convention, you can run into Steve Jackson and have 5 minutes of his time, and he'll talk to you. That's going to happen. If you want to talk to Ed Greenwood, if you want to talk to Chris Perkins, if you want to talk to any of these people, and we have 30 guests that are like that, that are big time guests in gaming. And they know that's expected of them, and they dig it. It's like they just get to hang out. It's not like Gen Con where they have to be at a certain place at a certain time and mm-hmm. sign books for a certain period of time, and they shuffle off like zombies to the next thing. And it's just that we didn't want to do that. Again, we were trying to put together a convention of the sort that we wanted to go to, and also another big part of that is the variety of games. You guys, it's cool meeting people like you guys, because it's expanding further. And I always thought I was a pretty broad gamer, but I'm learning all kinds of things about miniature games, and that's cool. I'm looking forward to, although the money sink is going to be tremendous, to get into another thing like that, like 40K or Warhammer. But so we really feel strongly about the four pillars of tabletop gaming, which are RPGs, board games, miniatures, both historical and fantasy, mm-hmm. and card games. And card games probably less so, because serious card game players, like Magic players, usually go to dedicated Magic events. And we didn't want to have a separate Magic hall kind of thing.
You didn't mean like Whist and Canasta?
right.
Because I was excited that you had a Canasta Hall at your convention.
Yeah, a Canasta Hall. That would be something. Well, it could happen. Yeah, you just have to.
Well, I was going to say, it doesn't sound like you want to, if you don't want to half-ass it. Like, if you're going to have like a magic gathering there, you're going to want to make sure that it's taken care of.
There's a couple folks who want to run more Magic, and I'm totally in favor of it. That's fine, just so it's done properly. And you guys have been great. You're the Crippled System group have come in and taken over Warhammer and
War Machine.
And it. Last year, all those events sold out. The first year, bam. And so we talked to Rick, who is your point person for this, and said, Rick, this can be as big as you want it to be. We'll give you as much space as you'll use. And as I was telling you guys before we got started recording, talking to Privateer directly, and they're interested in following our progress and becoming more directly involved in our convention because of how the rapid growth. I just didn't want it to be an RPG con. There are a lot of those already, or a board game con, just everything, and it's also local gaming. I'm trying to just get as many local groups to be involved and feel like this is their convention. You can take a piece of this, you make it whatever you want it to be.
It's almost like, one nice thing is like when I look at certain cons I go to for War Machine, it's like DICON, DICON St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
I would say a huge chunk of it is War Machine. It's actually a pretty big summer War Machine event, but they have another huge hall. It's also, they have a pretty good chunk of other stuff. It's maybe I'd say 30% of it's just War Machine, but they also have some 40K stuff going on. They got tons of role playing. They have tons of board games, but it's just nice when you go to convention. It's like if I go to convention, but if I go there, I still just want to play War Machine. But when I go to Gen Con, there's a million things to do,
mm-hmm.
and when I keep looking at how you keep expanding this convention, it's like I want to go there to play War Machine, but there's a million other things I want to go do. I want to go. Play like maybe someone get Ed Greenwood to play Lords of the Waterdeep, because that'd be ridiculous.
Well, for instance, for Lords of the Waterdeep, because I'm a big fan, we have Peter Lee coming, who's the designer.
Yeah,
and he's going to be running a Lords of Waterdeep tournament, and he'll be playing four people at the same time, and then Ed's going to be hanging around. I mean, that's going to be awesome. That's going
to
be great.
How long do you think it would take me to get him to punch me
by telling him I think Kalis is superior in every way.
He's
like,
pretty...
if I just hung out behind him, like, well, the thing with your game that's flawed compared to
well,
Kalis.
Well, here, we'll get our friend Jim, who hates Kalis more than he hates almost anything else. And our friend Jim hates everything a lot, but the, so to
he
say,
hated John Wick.
To say,
yeah!
Okay, I'll do I'm going to put that one on the shelf.
Save that one for later.
But Jim can't hate Kalis more than a person can hate things. So you can tell the guy from Waterdeep how that's going on. Well, Jim just sprays you about Kalis.
I'll tell you this: Peter Lee is about as chill a guy as I've ever met. So that you'd be in a you'd have
challenge
a challenge. Yeah, you would have to really be obnoxious to get him going.
I'll mention this to you. I mentioned this on air at last year War Machine Weekend. The promo card Inevitable Betrayal is the bonus card you get if you like pre-order the game.
Okay,
I hate the card, and I was actually and I play so much online on iPad. It's just part of the game. But when we play in person, I was going to remove the promo card from it. So we're playing, it's 1 a.m. One of the guys is playing isn't very good. He's Charlie Foster, he's terrible at board
games. Charles Foster III.
And yep. I'm losing the game, and there's everyone else is doing well, and he inevitably betrays me instead of the guy who we could have stopped from completing the big quest. So I took the card and I just ripped it in half in front of him. Everyone in the room just stops, looks over to me as what's just happening. It was great because, A, I'm probably the... If someone, has a drink within a 4-mile radius of my game, I go over and I slap them. I'm very careful about everything I own, probably too much so. So just when I ripped up that card in the middle of the night, it was so great because everyone thought, the world... They thought I was going to go completely crazy. I was going to remove it anyway, never use it again. So I'm like, well, you know what? I'm a little annoyed and this will be funny. So I just tear it up. And, that was good stuff. It was such a good
to be
moment.
Fair,
the I one, love the game. I just hate that card.
The one good thing about that card is if you're in a 3-player game of the iPad version and you are an open lord, so you're immune to cards, and the other 2 players are PC, you can throw it out there and they will murder each other with this card. They will do is use it back and forth every available action and die.
It's amazing.
Chumming the water, essentially. Huh?
Yeah, play, if you play 3-player game, I'm telling you, if you open Lord, they will. I've seen them from
because you know that card, right?
I've heard of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right,
you're familiar with how it works.
If you steal a cube from someone,
steal a cube and 2 gold, and then give them the card.
Give them the card. So then it's supposed to be.
They just do it right back.
Yeah, they do it right back to you. It's just kind of it's a waste of it. I hate it. So I got rid of my copy, but which it's a promo card, so whatever. It wasn't intended for the game. It would have been in the box otherwise. But. I'm excited that it'd be cool to see him there because, I like the game. My group, I play the game because of the iPad app probably more than any other game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's groovy. Some other, stuff that I'm particularly proud of, we have a free games library. And the free games library we have is the Gen Con games library. So if you go to Gen Con, you've got to pay to get into this. It's free.
You have to pay now at Gen Con?
Yeah.
When did they start doing that?
It's been
I haven't been to Gen Con in years. So
yeah,
it used to be free.
You just get a game ticket.
Yeah. Well, that's right. It's $4 for this session or $6 for that session. But yeah, or they sell it. They pre-register.
I've been to Gen Con once since it left Milwaukee.
Oh yeah.
So back when it was in Milwaukee, it was just you went in that room and played board games.
I spend 70% of my Gen Con time playing board games lately, which is my favorite thing. But I typically end up playing. Some of the hotels have bigger areas than other areas have, so usually at night we just take the group and go to a hotel and just board game away. But the area where they rent the board games, you can go and say, I want to use a table for the next 6 hours, and they don't charge you for that. It's just if you want access to the games where they charge you. So you can still use a space for free.
Sure, sure.
But you just have
to
connect.
Yeah, well, no, connect. we just talked to the guy, and he's willing to come up, and it costs us a few pesos, but whatever. And
you're just footing the bill.
We're footing the bill.
He's still getting his scratch.
Exactly.
Is why he's willing to do it.
Precisely. Not to put too fine a point on it, but exactly, that's it. Because he's not going to do it for free.
Well, it makes sense. He's traveling up here.
And we want to support people who are doing that. It's a massive library. It's got 1,500 games.
Catch him.
Yeah,
hope to God not.
We have a huge open gaming space too that people can plunk in and play. And
do we have spam in our chat room? That makes me feel important.
Yeah, we actually just had our first
spam
in our chat.
Nice. Yes. Did you check it? Is it actually spam?
No, I didn't.
Click that link.
Don't click that link.
Yeah, shut the whole thing down.
Loaded on here, but it's the link is on that computer. But don't click on it.
I won't. I just saw that. I'm like, this is either somebody actually inputting or this is spam. And that's unbelievable that we would have spam.
Yeah.
We made it. We're big
time. Well, especially because it's not like penis enlarging pills. They're talking about buying and selling games.
Yeah.
But maybe they're not talking about board games.
Who knows?
Either way.
You have a cool game library. You got. Don't you have some people? You have people writing. Like you have Eric, obviously, for us, is doing a lot of the War Machine stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's say we've already, for D&D Adventures League, for example, we have more D&D Adventures League than anyone other than Gen Con. Pathfinder Society, same thing. We have literally hundreds of individual board game events and board game tournaments. For instance, there's a Dominion tournament if you're so inclined, but that's just one of many. There are all kinds of board game tournaments. Lords of Waterdeep, we already mentioned that one.
When does the events go up? Because you're still taking this.
We're just getting started. So we'll start to show probably around late May, early June. We want to get to the 400 or 500 individual gaming events.
When
before
is it this year?
Yeah, that's a good question. November 6th through 8th in Madison. November 6th, 7th, 8th.
And for those who play War Machine, 1 week before. One week, yes, before War Machine.
That's why when he first started talking, I instantly went to my phone, and that wasn't just me being bored. That was me checking when War Machine Weekend was.
Yeah,
and I found last year.
That's what was so impressive about you guys, is that we were against War Machine Weekend last year, yet we sold out every one of those event tickets. Yeah. That's crazy. There are a lot of players in the area. I had no idea, and that's really cool.
The Midwest is a very, very large War Machine meta.
Yeah, and so then I guess the other features that I'd like to mention is our dealer hall. We stepped up to a 6,500 square foot dealer hall. So we have 35 separate dealers, 8 different artists, an artist row, all sold out. Here we are, 7 months, I guess, before, and that's all spoken for. We have some contests. We have a board game design contest, an RPG design contest. That actually you win a statuette and cash. So that's a whole different thing. That's being run through our partners with Game Crafter. They're actually doing a con within a con. It's called Crafter Con that they'll be running at Gamehole Con. And it's all game design. So they'll be running seminars over the entire weekend about crowdfunding, design principles, going through all that stuff, and they have lots of guests. They have their own guests, and they'll be borrowing some of ours. I'm sure. Yeah, I know Steve Jackson's going to be sitting on one of their panels, and a bunch of the other people that we have coming. So, it's pretty neat. Pretty excited.
Nice.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. So I'm glad that it worked out this year that we're not conflicting with War Machine Weekend, that you guys can come.
When I was younger, when I first did Gen Con, when I was in Milwaukee, like way back in like the 90s, I spent almost half my time just in seminars. Seminars can be so much fun.
Yeah.
When you get that knowledge.
Well, it's just, for instance, last year we had, and again, this is an RPG thing, but the game Top Secret. So we had Alan Hammack, who was the editor, Merle Rasmussen, who was the original designer, and Doug Niles, who did second edition. All three of them sat on a panel and talked about Top Secret for the first time ever. That had never happened before.
Doug Niles, who wrote Moonshape books?
Yeah, exactly.
I just followed some Moonshape trivia questions for a weekend.
Doug's a hell of a nice guy. He's a big war gamer. That's his thing. He comes and runs all day long World War II games, stuff like that. That's his bag. He'll be up again this year. So stuff like that. Yeah, I love the seminars too, especially since it's a lot of the history of gaming stuff about where, I can't wait to hear Steve Jackson talk about, where he came from and how he actually figured out a way to make money in gaming, because almost no one has. That'll be neat.
Let's have the fun talking to Edgar. He just tells you all these things from back in the day, and it's just fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Jackson signed my copy of Ogre.
Yep.
There you go.
I haven't taken my Kickstarter. I haven't opened my Kickstarter version.
Yeah, mine's downstairs in the box.
Plastic.
You saw that when
that's
came in.
I had him open his. I kept mine in the box.
Still play it.
I've got
seven
a friend,
copies
too.
Of Ogre at one point in time.
Wow.
Because I had the pewter miniatures one, which I painted up and everything that I've been playing for like a decade. And then I had the designer edition that I bought. And then I accidentally bought a second designer edition because that's the kind of life I lead, where I accidentally buy designer editions of Ogre.
Hmm.
And then I bought 4 pocket copies so I could just throw them at people.
Sure.
Like a War Machine event, it's prize tournament support. I had for 2 of my events in a row, one of the prizes was a pocket copy of Ogre. That's like $3. Fuck it. I'll buy 10 of them and just throw them at random hobos.
Yeah, you bet. You bet.
Especially since he said if the pocket edition of Ogre sells out, they'll do pocket GEV. And I want to be able to buy pocket GEV. And so if I have to spend $1,000 buying every pocket Ogre edition, make it happen.
That's funny.
For the new Ogre, I finally, because on the website they had, like, if you Kickstarted enough money, you got to design like little extra add-ons, and there's a website you can buy them all. I think I finally got a copy of every single one
of
those.
Did you really? Yep. I haven't. Because
you can finally buy the one from the guy who vanished off the face of the earth.
I have a closet closet full of all the add-on things. I need to get them out and put them all in and make sure I have all. I'm pretty sure I have every single one of all those extra things.
I got the Kickstarter version too, and mine's still in shrink because one of my buddies, well, two of them actually, and they opened theirs, and I said I'm not going through the 4-hour process of assembling.
That's the best part, is assembling that.
Yeah, but they did it. So
I felt like a 10-year-old kid assembling his toys on Christmas morning. Yeah. I was so excited building that shit.
Yeah, it was hard for me not to do it after I saw how much fun you were having. I'm like, man, I want to open mine up now. There's no reason to do it, but man, I want to do it.
With no exaggeration, I could have 5 games of Ogre going at a time from my copy with none of the expansions. Like, it's that much stuff in the box. So if you have a group and all of you own, there's no need for more than one person to open it.
Right.
Because 10 people can play at the same time.
Yep.
You can have an Ogre tournament from one copy of the Designer Edition.
For sure.
Why
for
are we having an Ogre tournament?
Yeah. I'm down. I have Pocket in my car.
And one of the add-ons is a campaign mode, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Submit one for GameWorldCon. That would be great. I mean, Steve would be tickled. I mean, the other thing that's happening, he's going to kickstart shortly the new Car Wars. And that's going to be badass. So by the time GameWorldCon comes around, Car Wars, the new Car Wars, is going to be out. So that's going to be pretty fresh.
I have spent so much Kickstarter lately. I need to somehow get myself that, so I can't see it anymore. It's so dangerous.
In junior high, you could really tell the math nerds, like the Mensa level, the guy in the wheelchair, Stephen Hawking level math nerds, because they were able to figure out how to pilot a hovercraft in Car Wars. The math required for those, because you actually, it made you track momentum one direction while rotating the other direction and then starting momentum in a counter direction to your drift direction. Like, it was literally theoretical physics using geometry and algebra just to drive that thing.
It's like Traveler 5 is the same way. That game is, oof.
Well, they should use that shit in math class then if they want to get people more excited about actual...
The scuttle is that it's going to be a little more user friendly, but we'll see.
That's the point of user friendly Car Wars, exactly.
Yeah,
people that play it maybe spend money on it.
I think the last time I played Car Wars was at Gen Con when they had the Godzilla versus.
It was Car Wars. It was Godzilla attacking like Milwaukee or whatever. Yeah. And it was Car Wars versus Godzilla.
Which involved basically shooting all of your rockets off and then running into Godzilla because you could do nothing else to him.
Yeah, it was launch missiles ram Godzilla's foot, which was what everyone would do.
There's a reason the tanks are never successful in the Godzilla movies.
Yeah. You charge enough of them as toe, you're like, I think we broke a toe. 9 more to go.
By the way, I was in Target today and they have a Blu-ray with all 3 of the recent Gamera movies for like $10. I almost bought it.
So I think I picked mine up. I have all those. They're not as good, but they're still... It's the same guy who did the new Godzilla movies, so...
Just an aside for the only other person at the table that would care about Gamera movies of the 2000s.
Yes, indeed. It's good information. So, yeah, that's pretty... I mean, anything else you want to throw out there?
Well, no, I don't want to, fill up your entire hour with that,
It's quality things versus us, so...
When is Game of Thrones on?
In about 40 minutes.
Oh, yeah, so we got 38 minutes.
Well, nice. Well, the thing is, though, we could watch Daredevil, too.
I'm waiting on Daredevil. I have to finish Fringe. I only have 3.5 more seasons to go.
Just watch an episode with me every Sunday.
No, I don't like you.
Why don't...
You can watch a movie a lot. You don't always have to have the buddy system when you watch TV.
I like buddy system watching TV. It's fun.
All right. Anyway,
that's it.
Well, the last comment on GameWorldCon is if you're interested, go over to our site. It's GameWorldCon.com. Create an account. It's simply just an email address. Then you get our alerts, our emails, our email blasts. Your information is never used for anything other than GameWorldCon. We're just gamers running a con that we think is pretty cool, and we're really excited about how everyone else is excited and how the momentum and growth that we've had so quickly and so fast, and we really appreciate that. So.
And we're going to do our best to make sure like I mentioned, I think, was it on the air or before the air? I'm going to go crazy on the... I mean, Rick's in charge. Like Rick, because he ran it last year, did so well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm letting Rick run with whatever he wants to do. But
he's our GameWorldCon ambassador.
Yeah. But anything I can do to help him get more prize support, we're going to help. Because, I mean, and then people will come because they want to come to Madison and play games. But, obviously, more bling gets people more excited. And then I want them to come in the door because once they come in the door, they're going to realize how much fun the whole thing is.
Yeah.
And they're going to be addicted.
Because then, you can go into this big dealer hall. You can go to a free board game play. You can go to a free seminar. You can stop in any other game. We have a dedicated hall for Call of Cthulhu rounds, for those who are really into theatrical RPGs. I mean, it's nutty, man. It's off. Yeah, so.
And they can meet us.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, but we don't want to drive people away from the convention.
My one recommendation,
not at recommendations.
For GableCon is that you have to get Troy Denning to show up.
Oh, easily. I think he probably will be, actually. Yeah. I think he actually is probably going to come this year. We'll see.
I'm going to stalk him.
Who?
Troy Denning. He wrote the Dark Sun books. He wrote some cool Star Wars books. He wrote my favorite Forgotten Realms books.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, a lot of those books back in the day were kind of, I don't want to use comfort fantasy as a term, but they're definitely like, yeah. It's not George R. R. Martin level of violence. They're good stories, but like not everyone's dying and whatnot.
Yeah, the Forgotten Realms novels. I mean, he was one of the Sundering authors. Yeah.
But Troy Denning was always, like, he was the darker of all the authors. Like, if someone was going to die, it was going to be the Troy Denning book.
Well,
like,
one of those authors that's coming this year is Erin Evans, you know, and she's Fire in the Blood and all that kind of stuff. And so that's where she ran into our rule, and that is, Erin, you've got to run games. And she said, well, I play a lot of games. And I said, well, you've got to run at least two games for attendees. Okay, I'll run some D&D. Great. So this is the first time she's ever going to GM D&D for some people. And we had that, you know, a couple years ago. Jen Page, who was a very popular cosplayer, you know, she thought that she was just going to come and do what her normal thing is. And no, you've got to run games. And so she ran Call of Cthulhu for two groups and did a great job. And she said it was awesome. And thank you. No one's ever asked me to run games before. Hey, it's a gaming convention.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the only requirement.
I don't know any con that does that besides you guys that actually has the interaction. And it's not like it is. Yeah, it's just natural interaction. And people are just, everyone's just having fun with that.
If we're gonna you know, drop the cash to fly these people out, they better spend some time with our attendees. That's the deal. That's the deal.
Chain them to the table. Have
that's
a guy
right.
with a gun.
That's right. The end.
that's awesome.
Yeah, cool. I appreciate that. So.
Well, that was pretty cool. Let's lower the quality of everything by going to some zappity grumbles, if we have any.
Are you doing both? Should I get on Twitter or Facebook? Where are you going, Andy?
Yeah, first we argue who's going to actually read them off, and then we get to the actual question.
Preparation would have been a thing that we don't do ever.
Well, I wasn't sure. The way that we go, I wasn't sure when things were going to end. We're talking about GameOcon. So. Did somebody actually post?
Yeah, I did it earlier today.
All right.
What exactly grumbled?
No, I know. It'd just been hilarious if the answer was no.
But it would have made a short zappity grumble round.
Well, I'm on the Facebook.
All right. So I just got to Facebook.
That's how we roll.
Too bad.
All right. All right. Zappity is hot, Nathan.
All right. Dude, just.
What's happening?
You know what this is, right?
It's
now?
A lightning round.
I don't.
Okay. It's a lightning round.
Yeah. Ah, okay.
It's a lightning round, but it's not a lightning round because we never actually
try sometimes.
You're not actually going to ask me to comment on a
war machine. Not all can be war machine.
War machine, obviously, you can just be a hit. But if it's like a random, because we don't always.
I've got four here on Facebook, and three of them are war machine. Right. So oops, but oh well. So first one is from Matt Wernart. Wants to know, is it the Haley's 3 or Haley cubed?
I don't know yet.
Answer silence.
H3O. I like the problem with the Haley's 3. Somebody, this wouldn't have happened to me except somebody posted that it happens to them. So now it happens to me. Is they said every time they hear that they think to their head, "You must answer me these Haley's 3, or the other side you'll see." So
okay.
That wow. ruins it.
Not
for
the
me.
Bridge keeper.
Too bad. I'm gonna think now. You're gonna hear that every time someone says Haley's 3.
Yeah, I have to debate that one. I don't know. I can't give an answer yet. I'll say zappity.
Grumble.
All right.
How different do you think the game would have been if Hordes had come out before War Machine?
I honestly, to be perfectly honest, I don't think it would have been as successful. Because I think War Machine really pulls into that genre that really wasn't available at the time.
The steampunk robots is more unique than giant monsters punching each
Correct.
Other.
Correct. And I mean, like, Eberron, I think, was close to coming around that time. And that's really the closest that I've seen to that genre.
Yeah. Also, the Fury mechanic is, although, you know, veteran players can argue more powerful, whatever, it's more complicated. Like, when I do demos, I do not like doing Hordes demos. I like doing War Machine demos because focus is way easier.
Correct.
Because there's no, well, goes one direction for monsters, but the other direction for your guy. And this, it's just focus does this.
Yep.
And it's always the same. So it would have been more difficult and less unique.
That's a pretty good question, though.
Yeah.
Michael Cahill.
I don't think it would have been as popular. I don't think it would be as big as it was. As
you
it
take
is
back it being a good question now that you know it's from Cahill?
Yeah.
You regret it.
I regret everything. Screw that guy.
Wow.
Jim Goff says, so you guys are in a zombie apocalypse. Who is the leader? Who's the first to be bit? And who's going to leave everyone else to die?
I would do two of the three of those.
I would also. You and I would shoot them, divide their loot, and then skip off into the sunset laughing.
Yeah. Yep.
Sorry, Andy. I would kill you instantly.
I'm telling you, and if it goes to like Mad Max, I'm starting Thunderdome up to day one. It's like I'm getting...
Yeah. Start taking top of the food chain.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we went when we all went and saw The Chronicle together, which I don't know if you've seen The Chronicle. It's a found footage where these kids get superpowers, basically. And one of them, you know, he ends up going evil eventually over the course of the film because his life is bad and his dad's abusive or whatever. And blah, blah, blah. After the movie, Brian and I, we turned to each other. We're both like, so instantly we're evil, right? Yeah. We're like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The nanosecond I get superpowers, yeah. I am robbing every bank. Yeah. I am ruling a continent.
Yeah. I spend an hour testing out some powers, make sure I know the limitations, and then the world is in trouble.
Yeah.
Not a doubt. Not even hesitation.
Yeah.
That's why we don't get superpowers, Nathan.
Yeah, I am staying with the group for safety's sake. The instant that it's more safe to shoot you in the kneecap... You're fucked.
You're going to shame me?
Yeah, I'll shame you.
Yeah.
Like, I'll tell you, Dr. Smith from Lost in Space is one of my personal heroes. Like, I unironically look up to that guy. Because he's got the good life going on, and then he never gets in trouble. It's always those stupid, that kid and his robot getting eaten by monsters. He lives the good life. Right. I don't see the problem with that.
I don't either. But
are you heroically dying?
Heroically dying? Probably not.
Yeah, see, come on.
Probably not. I don't know. The only aspect that I would say is different, and that's it's because I'm a dad. So that does add, it changes the world a little for you when you talk about your kids. Am I heroically dying for my family? Sure. But for the average mensch, no. Hell no. I'm just like, you know. But it does change your perspective a little.
Yeah, if anything, yeah, it depends, because it might make you more treacherous.
Because, yeah, it could be, absolutely. More mercenary. Yeah, if you have the final loaf of bread and I've got to feed my babies, you better get the fuck out of my way.
Yeah. Then you're not even just being strictly greedy for yourself. No. You get to justify it.
Yeah.
And that's even, I think that could be more dangerous
yeah.
in so many ways. Cool. All right, Zappity.
Yeah, that was the one non-War Machine one, so I hope you enjoyed
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I did. Thanks. Thanks for bringing me in.
And then, inspired the most recent recorded game. Are you interested in a video series of new players playing their first game against Gatsby 2? You can even record the responses afterwards. Think of it like the War Machine equivalent of getting kids to play old video
did
games.
Did you post that game, or is that actually not? Because I mean, we did this.
Yeah, we already did this. It's not live yet. We broadcast it live. It's on YouTube. We haven't posted the post commentary.
It wasn't his first game against Gatsby. It wasn't his first game he's played as Faction, but it was his first time
against Gatsby 2. That's what they're saying.
Which I wasn't aware of, but it turned out to be hilarious.
The most magical moment of that game for us, the listeners, was so he moves up a unit, and the unit is all like very close to each other. So everybody in the chat is just like, well, that unit doesn't exist anymore. Like, that unit's just gone. So then on your turn, you go and you move up Gatsby and you move up the Bile Thrall, or you move up Gatsby and he casts Excarnate. And then your opponent said, and what does that do? And it was magical.
Yeah. Well, a 30-minute game, you know, if you, there's certain things that are just overpowered. And sometimes whenever someone asks you, what does something do? You know they've lost that game. Because certain things make you position the entire game differently.
Sure.
And the first thing I was playing had one of those abilities.
What it really was is the guy just said, here's a gun. Could you please hold this to the top of the side of my head now? And then Brian's like, okay, I pull the trigger. And the guy's like, and what does that cause to have happen?
Does that hurt?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, so it was good times.
Yeah, that should be up later this week, that video. That will be Battle Report 21. Right now, 19 just got put up. So
and we're getting very close to test all people's list they brought us. We now that we have the live streaming kind of figured out, we now have kind to of. Start. We're pretty close. Now we just have to, because we're actually live streaming down at Pegasus Games on Wednesday nights now.
Okay, cool.
So we've been kind of getting, getting where to hook it up and what tables to use and make all the spacing figured
the
out.
The similar thing to that I did want to always joke about doing was they have the Let's Plays on YouTube with people playing scary games, and then they've got the face cam up in the corner of them like screaming and crying and everything. I always wanted to do one of those with my face cam playing against Haley 2 and just ham up the screaming and crying when she casts Time Bomb and when she feats and when she does temporal acceleration on the Stormwall, just like, and just crying.
We could have a chest-mounted GoPro that would just be, like, right here, just looking at you the entire time. We should get that.
Yeah.
It would show me smiling too much when people are suffering, though. It would point out every... Brian didn't smile much, but it's always timed exactly when someone's suffering. That would be too obvious.
Haley is an interesting design decision in War Machine. Usually you'd say the point of games is to enjoy yourself and have fun. So Privateer Press at some point decided, what would it be like if 50% of the people at the table wished they were dead and hated themselves and want to break all of the models and quit the game forever? And that's nice. What happens when you play against Haley.
And that was the first version of Haley. And then they put out a second version of her that's even about as worse.
The way I always say this, Haley 2 wins every game. Haley 1 ruins every game. And there's a difference.
Yeah.
Well, like every exception, if you play Wrath, then you just blur off the table and don't even care. Like,
that's hilarious.
Everything has a counter, but...
And Haley 1 needs to exist to tell Gatsby 2 to go fuck himself.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she does that very
he
well.
He does that incredibly well. It's the one time you root for her as much as against Gatsby too.
All right, so that's Facebook. What's our Twitter like?
We got a couple on Twitter. Fitch Logan or Zaxel asks, if should I purchase a third War Machine army or purchase an army in another game system like Infinity or Guild Ball?
Other games can be fun if you have enough people to play it. I sometimes, like locally, if you're the guy, or if you want to get into a new game and you want people to get into it, then you have to buy two or three armies for that game, and like you actually have things, you know, you can loan things out.
Them out. Yep.
So nothing's wrong with another game if you have the group to support it or you're willing to be the one who kind of forces it along. Otherwise, you're going to have these cool models to do nothing with.
Our issue with miniature games, with our group at least, is we just don't have time. We do a lot of board games. We do a lot of stuff for a crippled system. I just don't have time to play any other miniature game.
It's a pretty rough first world problem, but it does exist. There's, you know, sure. You only game so much in a week.
If you have a local crew that's playing one of those other games, by all means, join that crew. But
you're not committing a sin if you do it. I mean, it's not like don't play anything but, you know, War Machine. I mean, you should play a lot of War Machine, obviously, but you know, no reason not to play some Infinity if you like it.
I think that's why like High Command didn't go over really well with us, is because we just don't have time to play it. I mean, it's all catering to basically the same guys who play War Machine, so...
Well, and there's been a lot of other games. Like, you know, we had the Starship Troopers game that we all enjoyed and, you know, played it for a while, and then it went away. And I know some people played Malifaux here, and then it went away. Whatever. But, I mean, I'm always down. Like, if Brian bought two factions for Mars Attacks and said, hey, Nate, come over, we'll play Mars Attacks. Sure, I'll play Mars Attacks. Fuck it.
Isn't there only two factions in Mars Attacks?
Well, yeah. But he likes Mars Attacks. That's where Mars Attacks is different, though, than Infinity. Because in Infinity, there's a bunch of factions. Everyone's meant to get their own thing. Mars Attacks is really a game where one person buys it all and just sits down with someone and plays.
Yeah. It's almost like a board game-esque in that manner.
Yeah.
And that almost happened.
Yeah, I know. So it's just more hinting.
The miniatures for the Mars Attack board game are so adorable.
Never seen them.
They were all at it.
You've seen Mars Attacks, I assume.
Sure.
Same,
no, but
just imagine the same. Miniatures, yeah.
Oh, big dome head.
Good quality miniatures based on the game.
Giant goofy robots.
Yeah.
Jack Black being melted.
I guess the other thing, too, is we are actually making time to test out a game, too.
We're going to be playing Ethereum. Ethereum. So hopefully this Thursday we're going to play a couple games. We're going to get either a write-up or talk about a lot on the next podcast or possibly even a video on it. So I think we're going to try to put... We always want to push more for some other videos and other topics. That's our goal.
At least if you're going to spell... You can spell jealous right.
No.
Typing it out for me.
All right, our chat's going in a bad direction.
All right. So, Zebedee.
Rumble.
And the last question here is, do you think that the Hydro will be imbalanced because of the multi-head rule? 5 initial range and or melee seems overpowered.
The TEP is half the price and has...
What's the range of the TEP spell?
10-inch.
10-inch sprays, and those are 6.
And it can do 3 of them that are fully boosted to hit and damage rolls, or 5 of them not boosted. I mean, it...
As someone who's been hit by the TEB, 3 range, 10, boosted hit, boosted damage...
Sprays
hurts. Having... 5 6-inch sprays will have its moments in the sun for sure, but overall we need to see what else that thing does.
Yeah,
before we worry.
It seems like to me that the sprays for it are going to be reactionary after it's already been charged by something, by like a swarm of infantry. I don't really foresee that thing being like advancing forward and then spraying.
Well, they're only 6 inches. Yeah. You know, its threat range is going to be really small. Yeah, but that's what it's designed for. Like, you swarm it with infantry trying to kill it, and then it just sprays the shit out of you.
Well, that's kind of a problem statement, because in War Machine, in today's world, nothing can... You can one round everything, so right. You almost have to, like, play it where you have to be behind the lines so they swarm the things in front of it, and then it does what you say, because everything in this game dies in a turn.
The flip side would be whatever its PS is, because if it's got five initial melee attacks, if it chooses to do five initial melees instead, and they're like pow 18s or something,
then it's going to be
then it's just going to ruin everybody's day.
Yeah,
we'll see. I'm excited for it.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, for the exact same price, you can have two TEPs.
Yep.
And that seems really good. But it's going to
advance deploy, which is going to be pretty cool.
Is it advanced deploy?
The Hydra, yeah.
Oh, that's sexy.
Wait, what?
I just tried to throw out complete false information to, like, come back. What the heck?
It turns out to be true.
Yeah.
You'll leak.
You still have to place it before the game, but at 80s.
No.
Or ambushes, whichever.
Ambush would be great. I still say that would be great for Morgul 2's theme force, is that his entire army gains ambush.
Yeah. All right. That was all.
That was it. That was all the Zappity Grumbles. All
right. Recommendations. We'll start with Nathan. Work our way around. Give Alex some time to think of something to recommend.
No, I already got something, but yeah.
Oh, that. Boom. Well, we'll still make Nathan go first.
But Alex had something worked out.
I forgot what I was going to recommend, so you have to start. I have to like look at my notes. I don't have notes, but if I
start
my phone.
I'd be happy to start if you give me some time.
The guest is going to
take
over for this.
Because we talked about it before we hit record. That is the new Daredevil series on Netflix. I am really bullish on this. I'm a big comic book guy. The Frank Miller Daredevil comic series back in those days when Frank was really heavily involved were, in my opinion, golden age stuff for me. And I love those so much. And then we fast forward to the Abomination that was Ben Affleck in the Marvel movie that was so terrible. I really didn't like that movie. It just was.
That's a brave stance to take.
I know, but I mean, but it's so misrepresented the character. You know, it just was not. There's nothing dark or gritty about it.
I like Fisk at least.
Yeah, right. No, I thought Fisk was okay. I thought Fisk was okay too. I agree. But now they've really captured the darkness, the grittiness, and and it's not focused on. You know, like I like the Avengers movies too, but that's really focused on, you know, how powerful these characters are. This is not really dwelling on what Daredevil can do. It's really his world and trying to make sense of Hell's Kitchen and trying to make a better life and a better world out of something that just seems fucking awful. And I think it's really a good series and good TV.
Is it following the Man Without Fear series?
Yeah.
The John Romita? Okay.
I think so. It picks up. And it's interesting because it picks up after the Avengers movie, you know, so half of New York's been destroyed, and so the commercial opportunities of people moving in and building, and so it's playing into the whole contemporary Marvel universe while still staying true to what I think is the Frank Miller vision. Okay. I really dig it.
I have never given a shit about Daredevil, ever. Am I going to like this series?
Yeah, I think you will. It's do you like Batman Begins? That yes. movie? Because I'm not a really big...
It was my favorite of the three new Batman movies.
Yeah, and I'm not a huge DC guy at all. You know, I said, all right, I'll fine, I'll watch it. I thought, wow, that's a really good origin story. That's legit. So if you like that movie, you like that tone, you're going to dig the Daredevil show. Give it a shot.
Yeah, I've seen only, honestly, the first 10 minutes, because then Brian showed up for the recording, and so I had to stop it, and I was going to rewind it to start it again, and I didn't get to it yet because I've been busy all weekend.
And I've watched first episode. It was pretty cool. This weekend's been busy. Yeah. My Facebook feed is like every third person, Daredevil's great. So it's
yeah,
it's a good sign. Everyone.
Apparently not taking a controversial position here. Yeah. Huh? Yeah.
But
yeah.
I mean, but you mentioned something that I haven't seen in the thread is it's very honest to the comics, which I think it's good at its own right and it's loyal to the comics. Sometimes when something's good, it's hard. It strays a bit from the comics. It's trying to be more mainstream, but this seems to have juggled both of them pretty well.
Yeah, yeah, and the fact that it's on Netflix, you know, there are a lot of things about that is a positive. You know, that we're avoiding network TV, and you know, so there can be some light swearing and some light nudity, and you don't have to. It's interesting to see how TV is developing that way.
Does Kingpin have a tasteful nude scene?
I haven't gotten that far yet. Fisk is not svelte, as you know, so that would be interesting if they.
Hey, don't kink shame.
Yeah, I'm not, man. He's got to do. What he's got to do.
And Netflix has another Marvel series coming out sometime this year. I thought. I forget which. They got some other
Doctor Strange.
Oh yeah.
They announced Black Panther also that they're bringing Spider-Man into the Marvel universe, and it's gonna be Peter Parker.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good.
That's what it should be.
You're good. You're happy about
it? You guys I'm fine with
it. I'm huge in the Miles Morales camp.
Mm. It's not like that origin character. Story, though.
Which is good to skip that, because I'm sick of the Peter Parker origin story.
It's been done so many times.
And you know what? The fact, you know what? Maybe if it wasn't Peter Parker, it'd be fine, but the fact Marvel, they Sony said, Marvel, here's Spider-Man for free, help us.
Yes.
It's pretty amazing that they're like, yeah, you can have him, do what you want with him, but we want him back, but fix him.
Yeah, because the last three Spider-Man films have been terrible.
They've been bad.
Yeah.
Well, so, and perhaps the last four, depending on how picky you are about Dr.
Octopus.
Doc
Ock is amazing. I
said depending how picky you are. If you're a nitpicker, you can nitpick Spider-Man 2 apart.
And I'll stab you in the throat.
Well, Dr. Octopus didn't know Peter Parker was Spider-Man, so when he threw that car at him, he really should have killed him. Like, how would he do that if part of his plan, blah, 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 and...
No, I yeah.
Every time Peter Parker lands a punch on Dr. Octopus, it should have shattered his face like a rotten pumpkin.
Yeah,
rotten pumpkin.
Well, yeah. But again, that's nitpick. Spider-Man 3 just sucked.
And if the Daredevil show really takes off, it's for me, you know, and I try to picture where this could go. That naturally brings, and you're talking about like street level New York. That naturally brings back Punisher, mm-hmm. right? And that does bring Spider-Man in. Those are the like Cloak and Dagger stuff like that. These other fringe New York superheroes. That are sort of a different track than the huge Iron Man Hulk.
I think if we're or the new Fantastic Four movie will be so bad it'll derail the entire superhero stint into the
if Fantastic Four ends superhero films forever.
Yeah.
Like comic books will be destroyed
because of Fantastic Four. That's a possibility because those guys like screw up their movies too. Yeah.
The videos or the trailers have got me slightly not excited, but I'm
I'll watch it.
I'm not diverted away from it, from the trailers.
The trailers do not divert me away. What diverts me away is the fact that there have been zero good Fantastic Four anythings ever.
The first one had it going okay with two characters.
Out of the five?
Out of the five.
Yeah.
Because Johnny Storm was awesome. Well, that's Captain America anyway. But
yeah.
Johnny Storm was awesome. Ben Grimm was actually really awesome too. What they did with Doctor Doom was a horrendous travesty.
Yeah,
just it's making his.
What they did to Galactus.
Oh, that's the.
Yeah.
I have
or
not.
Or the Surfer, or it was just.
Yeah, but like Doc Doom in the first one, they just made him in. They could have had him be burnt horribly, and then he had to put on a suit. Instead, they made him metal. They have metal skin. Like no.
But
oh, it's so
they
painful.
Sprayed him with water. Yay.
They ended it. They ended it with. With the possibility of going into such a right direction, with him being shipped off to Latveria, they could have just gone on there and instead they made Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Then they wouldn't have zero good Fantastic Four anything.
True,
which is a great record to continue. That's well done. You'd think they'd accidentally make something tolerable. But
have you seen the new Ben Grimm too? The image of him?
Yeah.
He actually looks like Ben.
That's fine. Get your hopes up. I look forward
that
to your
movie
tears.
Is going
to
destroy. And I'm telling you that. No matter how good, see, we're gonna go and hopefully Age of Marvel or Avengers 2 is good. But we're gonna hit midsummer and that Fantastic Four movie is just gonna. They're gonna cancel.
Well,
they're gonna cancel every movie that's supposed to come out after.
Who thought though that? Who among us thought that Guardians of the Galaxy was gonna be watchable? You thought so?
And I'll tell you
why. I thought that's going to be a fucking disaster.
The reason I knew it would be good is because nobody gave a shit about the Guardians of the Galaxy. Nobody cared.
Yeah,
and so I knew that was freedom.
Before the trailer, I may have been concerned, but once the first trailer,
that trailer
hit,
was fucking amazing.
I knew.
Yeah,
that
no, I did too. I said, wow, because I actually did collect all those. I back in the day, mm-hmm. I do care about Guardians of the Galaxy and Rocket Raccoon and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But, oh, there
you are, man. You are less than a 1%er.
I appreciate
there's
that.
Such a niche
oh,
thing.
No, no doubt.
And
no one's
so
even
the
heard
freedom,
of it.
The freedom. And so I knew there was in my mind, I was optimistic. There was a 90% chance, because who was working on it? Like James Gunn and whatnot. I knew there was a 90% chance that he would use that freedom to make a masterpiece. Turns out he did.
Mm-hmm.
There was a 10% chance that he would just shit all over what little integrity it had and ruin it forever.
Right.
I just figure Marvel at some point is gonna get off their streak, but they're doing such a good role right now that I think their input on top of getting good directors and getting good people, I think they're good. I'm excited for Ant-Man, and I mean, Ant-Man in general.
Yep.
I don't
you ever think you'd say that sentence in your life?
Yeah.
I'm excited for Ant-Man.
Yeah, no, I am too. I'm too, man. This is really exciting.
Well,
these are good, great times.
I was telling Andy about it when we saw the Ant-Man trailer yesterday in front of a movie we went and see. It's weird to me, the choice to, they take Ultron away from Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, all right, Ultron's origin story, Ant-Man makes him. Fuck it, we'll have Tony Stark make Ant-Man. So they take Ant-Man's probably biggest villain away from him. and then they make an Ant-Man movie. I'm like, doing that makes sense if you're never going to make an Ant-Man movie.
Isn't there going to be some sort of tie-in, though, with Ultron and Ant-Man? That's what someone was telling me.
In the trailers, they blatantly say that Tony Stark made Ultron.
I think he manufactured him.
Yeah, I think that's my guess. I bet we're going to get back. I bet we're going to find that he was a Stark employee or something.
I know how Ultron comes about. It's not going to ruin a movie. It's tech that was left over from the
aliens.
The aliens attack
the Shi'ar.
Some of their technology he finds and manipulates and uses.
None of which is Hank Pym or
Yeah,
it really was. They just took an iconic character,
Yellow Jacket, which I showed the first pictures of Yellow Jacket. Cool. So they're gonna be pretty.
It was just weird to me. It's like taking Doctor Doom and putting him into a Spider-Man movie and then making a Fantastic Four movie afterwards. I'm just like, that doesn't make sense to me.
It was peculiar.
Yeah.
It seems like a slam dunk tie-in. Have this movie come out and then have Ant-Man come later. But anyway, it's all good.
It's like taking Thulsa Doom and putting him into a Conan movie and then making a Cole the Conqueror film.
Luckily, nobody cared about the Cole the Conqueror film, so it was not a bad thing that they had stolen Thulsa Doom. Good recommendation.
Yeah,
good
conversation. Comics, man.
We could ramble on about that kind of stuff forever.
We should have a comic based
episode.
I
know that the Spider-Man you mentioned has been Spider-Man for quite a while, but when I stopped reading Spider-Man, Peter Parker was like still alive and doing shit.
Yeah.
And I know he has been the Spider-Man for a long time, but that's how out of touch I've been with like the Spider-Man world.
He's young. The big thing about Miles Morales, and I guess they kind of are doing this with all these Peter Parkers are the old versions of Peter Parker anyway, so I guess you don't need to do Miles Morales. But the nice thing about Miles Morales in the comics now is that Peter Parker, there's so much drama. Like, he's had all the shit that's happened to him his whole life. So Miles Morales was really a big reset button for them to have a wacky hijinks kid again.
Is he kind
and it
of
doesn't
like
hurt,
a...
in all political fairness, to have a half black, half Puerto Rican character be Spider-Man also. I mean, it's really nice to see that. But it was, there's no, you know, Gwen Stacy death and Mary Jane and this and that and the One More Day deals with the devils and the clone sagas. There's none of that shit. There's just a kid having fun swinging around, which Spider-Man had lost a long time ago in the comics. But, I mean, since that's the Spider-Mans they're doing in the films don't have that
and he's going
baggage
to be
anyway.
He will be a teenager again.
Yeah,
as well,
and that's the thing, is they're resetting to the wacky, fun, young Spider-Man anyway, so they didn't have to do Miles Morales. It just was kind of a cool little thing that it would have been neat if they had done.
So what's your recommendation?
Kind of like if they had a Guy Gardner Green Lantern film. Because everybody loves Guy Gardner.
No.
Nobody likes Guy Gardner.
No, not even Guy Gardner.
Not even Guy Gardner likes Guy Gardner.
All right, I'm not much of a DC guy.
Follow the good recommendation.
My recommendation is going to be a confession. So last week I recommended Darkest Dungeon. I hadn't played it at all. It just had really good reviews. So I felt bad about that, so I bought it, and I've played it a million hours since then. So I'm going to re-recommend it honestly now, that it is as good as I said it was now that I've actually played it.
I've only heard good things about it.
Yeah. So that's like my twice recommending John Wick.
And you hadn't even seen
it yet. I've never seen it
yet. How can Jim not like John Wick? Have you seen John Wick?
I have. I saw it in theaters.
Your reaction when I said, I saw it twice in theaters.
Yeah.
I saw it and then I took other people to see it.
It was, I thought it was cool.
Did you show him John Wick?
High art.
I showed him John Wick and I watched it. I did not do, when Nathan was over watching with us, Nathan was very, he just got done watching the commentary track. So he was very excited to tell us all the side information about the film during the film, which I generally don't like.
Yeah,
I was being nice to not say anything to you.
I tried not to do it too much, but I guess I probably did do it a lot. I was excited.
You were very excited to tell us information.
To be fair, I would have slapped after the first time.
So
I said,
anyway,
I watched it with
Jim. He reloads. Isn't that neat? He reloads.
I watched it with Jim, and I could tell that he was getting to the point of just not caring about it. But yeah, I don't know why he didn't like it. It was, the movie's awesome. I don't understand how my roommate doesn't like he doesn't like the Punisher, but he really liked John Wick. So
he knows John Wick is just the Punisher without a Punisher shirt, right?
Exactly, exactly. And I gotta get him to watch the Punisher movie because the one with Tom Jane is fucking awesome. I love that movie. And I'm hoping.
Oh, me too.
That if the Punisher series happens, that Tom Jane is attached to it.
Me too.
Well, he enjoyed his time with it. I mean, that's why he did the Dirty Laundry thing.
You've seen Dirty Laundry?
Yeah, many times.
I like the Punisher movies. I get not the first one.
Punisher
I like
movie.
The second
so,
one.
So Casey,
the one with Jigsaw was fun.
Yeah.
Well, that it was a good action flick, is what that was. Yeah.
I like when the cop has the guy like tied to a chair and he's gonna interrogate or whatever, and then Punisher just walks up and shoots him in the face and then walks out of the room.
The Punisher video game was insanely violent.
What?
I mean, you think it would have like held back, but I mean, it was like all in ridiculous. It was very honor. It was very good to the truth of the comic. I just figured it'd be like some cheesy thing where they would, you know, not show you blood and guts and things falling off of everybody, but they went all in like R-rated game, which I was surprised by.
Cool.
So, all right, you know your recommendation, Andy.
Yeah, my recommendation.
A few minutes before Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We gotta hurry up here. What We Do in the Shadows.
I was going to recommend that just to fuck you over, and then I decided not to, so you're welcome.
That's why I didn't start.
Yeah. You're gonna do it immediately, too?
Yeah.
What We Do in the Shadows is, it's basically, it's a comedy. It's a mockumentary about four vampires that live in a flat in New Zealand. And that's pretty much
out.
It's out.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep, it's out now. That's pretty much all you need to know.
I will make a semi warning that it is, the humor is drier than the Sahara Desert. Like
you saw it last night with Duke of the
Night. Yeah, we went last night.
Yeah,
it is very dry. Like it is like British humor is raunchy compared to New Zealand humor. Like it's good though.
It's good. I found myself laughing more at the movie after we were done. We were talking about it because there's a lot of memorable scenes in it, but the delivery, everything in there is just so subtle.
Did Jim go?
No.
Well, see, that's what you
Jim would have hated
me.
That
I'm
movie.
Like, I'm afraid to go if Jim's going to. I also went to bed at like 10:05, so there's no way after 10 hours of boring I had the energy to see a movie.
Sure.
But I'm like, man, if Jim's there, I mean, it would have been fascinating to watch Jim during the movie and ignore the movie to see how he freaks out over it, but.
Yeah,
we like Jim, although we say he's negative constantly. It's his charm.
I tried to talk Raylene into coming, and she's like, "No, that's okay. You just go by yourself." And so I went, and then I came home, and I was like, "Babe, interesting trivia about that movie. You would have hated it." And she's like, "Good. I'm glad I didn't go." I'm like, "I'm glad you didn't go too."
Yeah, we were two of four people in the theater.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Well, it was a pretty. Well, I guess yeah. But I might go see it on Tuesday if it's that star.
I might go see it again just so I can really pick up on the lines, because the lines in there are really good.
Yeah, the werewolves are the best part.
Yeah.
Well, so that's good. I'm intrigued by it. People should go see it. It won a lot of awards and like for film festivals.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said it's dry, but it's fun and it's quotable. It's kind of like, you know, the Christopher Guest movies and stuff like that. You remember 5 minutes worth of quotes and stuff from these 2 hour long movies just because they're all. Documentaries are uneventful for the most part, and so to really have that documentary feel, they need to be boring, for lack of a better word. And so these movies are fairly slow and boring, which you can translate to dry. But what, you made a noise.
I was just gonna make one more recommendation quick. Should watch the Jinx. The Jinx is a 6-part documentary series that HBO put out about the murders from Robert Durst, about his not really confessions, but his life story. Yes, Robert Durst, the
Rock of Menoff.
Yeah, but it's about his story that he's trying to tell, centered around the murder investigations. It's around him. It's an amazing documentary.
Documentaries in general, people don't watch enough of.
No, but this is 6 parts.
You know why I don't watch them? I've watched a few documentaries, and they're fucking depressing. Yes. So I went back to my nonsensical world of simplicity.
That's a good point.
Because I'm like, man. Is it just awful? They're awful. They're terrible things. They tell you like things.
Well, because happy documentaries don't get the Oscars.
Yeah.
So they really, they go the depressing route. Yeah. Things like The Cove and whatnot.
Well, then you watch a documentary. Then you're like, okay, that documentary was real, like Hot Coffee. You watch that documentary. And first of all, what I've done now, I watch a documentary. And then I have to spend 1 hour researching to see how skewed it is. Because obviously, just because someone made a well-made documentary proving a point doesn't mean that they're that full of shit.
Right.
I mean, they made a movie, but doesn't mean... Just because documentary doesn't mean truth.
Kind of like how Super Size Me has been so disproven at this point.
Correct.
Or like Boeing for Columbine.
But anyway, so I watched something like Hot Coffee. I'm like, okay, I need to dig into this a little bit before I punch everyone. And I look into it, and I'm like, God damn it, I have to punch everybody.
Turns out it's true. That's the worst thing.
Yeah, and Hot Coffee is true. That's what I do for a living.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm a trial lawyer.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, and it's hilarious because she's held up as such an example of a frivolous lawsuit. Like, people laugh and it's like, oh, this woman burned herself with hot coffee. Duh. It's like, well, you realize the wounds were like molten lead was poured on her. Like, you know, there's stories here.
Mm-hmm. So, So I have to. Yeah. Well, anyway, sorry.
That's fine.
They make me sad.
Should watch the Jinx. It's okay. It's very good.
You have 3 minutes to make a recommendation.
All right. Simple. I quasi recommended before. I'm going to fully recommend It Follows, which is currently in theaters now. A horror movie. Very action paced. Not at all. It's a very simple movie. Focused on a group of, obviously, teenagers. Well, college.
I think she was like 19.
Yeah. So, yeah. 17 to 19-year-olds running around just in a horror movie. It's a very simplistic plot. Well, it's a very simple process. Something is following her.
It follows.
It follows. Like,
that's the title and a complete plot summary.
Yes. And it's very creepy because it doesn't.
Typical horror movie.
It doesn't stop following you. Yeah. Imagine if there was something out there right now walking towards you, and if it reaches you, you die.
Yeah,
and it never stops coming at you.
Yeah,
so you can drive away and rest for a little bit, but then it's and you like you no you yeah. There it is again. And whenever you see it, it looks like a person, but manipulated somehow into like whatever would freak you out the most at the time. It's
or not necessarily freak. Sometimes it's freak out, and sometimes it's not.
Yeah, sometimes it's trying to blend in.
Sometimes it's trying to blend in.
Yeah, so exactly. Oh, it's my friend Bob. Oh, but there's Bob over there. Oh fuck! And you have to like run away again. And then you run for a little while. And you go, okay, I'm safe again. Then you stop.
And the movie does an interesting thing where it kind of just becomes like a Where's Waldo? Because they'll be doing stuff, and then you'll see something over in the horizon walking towards the camera. And sometimes that turns out to be the monster breaking through the wall. Sometimes it's just a person on their way to the bus. And you're never sure.
It fucks with the audience really well in that regard.
And some scenes you never find out.
Yep.
Like, you know, they'll go to a place and they'll be doing stuff and you'll see something walking towards the building. And then they'll leave the building and drive away and you'll see the thing walking towards the car. And they're like, well, they were a minute away from all dying and they didn't even know it. I saw it and I was pissing myself. They didn't even know it.
Yeah. So the thing is, you know, you think, well, if I would just, like, I'd fly to Australia, live there for a couple of years, and I'd fly there. But they're, like, you know, kids who don't have resources who are being chased by this thing. So it's not like they have the ability to even get away very well.
It's funny is because the Rooster Teeth podcast had a similar situation, or it had a what if they had this snail that would follow you, and if it touched you, you died. Like, how long can you live while trying to run away from this snail that just slowly crawled towards you?
Well, this is that, but with human walking speed.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I think this came out, like, over a year ago. Yeah.
So it's a cool horror movie. I mean, it's simplistic. I mean, it's not like it's an action pay. It's not like there's scary effects constantly happening. It's not like, you know, a lot of stuff. There are moments of pretty intensity going on, but otherwise it's just...
It's mostly tension.
Yeah, it's a tension-filled movie where they're just trying to figure out how the hell do they survive this thing that will not stop following them.
And I am bored by scary movies usually. Like, things like The Conjuring bored the shit out of me. And I know people are like, that's the scariest movie of the last forever. It bored me to pieces just because, oh, boo, something made a noise all of a sudden. That's not scary. Like, it's a creepy doll, whatever. I'm not scared of a creepy doll.
Things to do later, stab Nathan.
But tense movies, like It Follows, I was squirming in my seat the whole time. And it's ironically because nothing scary is happening. Yeah. My body needs the release. You know, like they have buildups in these movies where like they'll build up and the person's reaching towards the cabinet and they open the cabinet and the cat jumps out. And it's like, oh, it was the cat. And that there's the tension while they're reaching. And then when they open and the cat jumps out, you get the release. Hmm. And so movies like It Follows or my previous example, The Orphanage.
My Friday night.
The orphanage destroyed me. Like, I literally had to find an excuse to leave the theater to take breaths and calm down because nothing was fucking happening. And because without that release, it was just building tension.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's like a cock tease, but with fear instead of an orgasm.
Just like Piranha 3D.
Where nothing happened?
Yeah, nothing happens.
Okay. But tense movies like that hit me a lot harder than Boogaboo scary movies.
I'm not sure what was not in my...
Tor doesn't know how stabbing me is not already on your
door. Technically always there. It just gets bumped down once in a while.
Though in fairness, Game of Thrones started a minute ago.
Oh, we gotta go. Oh my god. Yeah. Well, it was a good time. Thanks for being on the podcast. Well,
thank you,
guys. Yeah, I appreciate it.
If DVRs didn't exist, I'd be panicking right now. But since DVRs exist,
we live in the future. And if we build time up now, we can fast forward through the commercials. That's the great thing about DVRs.
Except for Game of Thrones doesn't have commercials.
What?
That's the joke.
Oh.
Thanks for having to explain the obvious.
Oh, yeah.
Dumbass.
You were in hiding very well.
We also kind of peer out the end. We don't really have a good conclusion to our podcast.
We're just going
to
end it.
Yeah, all right. Goodbye.